Chet Huntley, NBC News, New York.
And David Brinkley, NBC News, Washington. The Nixon administration has decided to deny tax exemptions to private schools if they are segregated. Most affected will be the private academies recently set up in the southern states to avoid integration. This ruling makes it more difficult for them to raise money, since donations to them will not be allowed as deductions for income taxes. The Internal Revenue Service made the announcement today, and the White House said the president thought it was a good decision. The Southern academies can legally continue now if they can raise the money, but most of them are having financial trouble even before this ruling today. Chet?
The president said today he is setting up a National Commission on Productivity, a panel of experts to advise him on ways to increase the nation's output per man hour of work. The White House also said the first in a series of inflation alerts will be issued next month. These are assessments of wage and price trends to be made by the president's Council of Economic Advisors. The stock market kept climbing, up for the third day in a row. On the New York Exchange, Dow Jones Industrials rose more than 7 points, and the value of an average share of common stock climbed 22 cents. On the American Exchange, the index rose 4 cents. Dollars deposited in ordinary bank savings accounts during this tight money period have earned less than those invested in high-grade securities and bonds. So bankers have tried new ways to keep their depositors and to woo new ones.
All over the country, usually conservative banks have been running ads announcing massive giveaway programs. In New York City, the papers were flooded with this desperate attempt to get money flowing into savings accounts and not out. Under a federal ruling, banks are permitted to give gifts to people opening new savings accounts or adding to existing ones. The ruling states that gifts cannot exceed a wholesale value of $5 for accounts under $5,000 and $10 for accounts of more than $5,000. So the banks were giving away radios, can openers, luggage, cooking pots, and watches, all perfectly legitimate. But some banks were skirting the ruling with lotteries for a new automobile or free vacation trips. One bank got around the ruling by giving a color television set to anyone who brought in a friend who opened an account with $10,000 and promised to keep the money in the bank for 3 years. Of course, the friend was the one who went home with a television set.
I think it's a great thing going on here today. You think it's worth tying up $10,000 for 3 years to get a color television?
Definitely, that's for sure.
I think it's fantastic. It's a wonderful promotion for the bank. And it helps the little fellow who can't afford to buy something as valuable as that. I mean, it means spending the money, and this way he gets it free.
Well, I have some money that had to go in a bank, and as long as they were giving out a free television set, I chose this bank.
Why am I doing this? Because I want it, that's all too.
One bank turned its boardroom into a warehouse, and the president reluctantly got into the giveaway battle. He wants to see the giveaways abolished.
This has been dubbed a policy of shift rather than a policy of thrift. Actually, money is just, for the most part, is just being shifted from one bank to another. No banks like it, at least among the mutual savings banks. I've heard no one express any desire for it. Discussions have been had with the present superintendent of banks of New York State, and on Tuesday at the meeting of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation in Washington, I'm sure strong representations will be made by the New York State bankers, hopefully because the FDIC regulate certain banking operations on a national basis, that they will get some regulation against this sort of thing through the FDIC.
After several weeks of the giveaway programs, all the savings banks in New York were still losing funds at a considerable rate. But the banks conducting giveaways were performing three times as well as those which weren't. And it appeared likely that the federal government might crack down on the giveaways by closing the loopholes. Dean Brayless, NBC News, New York.
The Huntley-Brinkley Report is produced by NBC News and brought to you in color by John Deere Weekend Freedom Machines. Visit your John Deere dealer now during his Independence Special.
This little power mower has a mighty big name, a great $105 value. But right now, it's free with the purchase of any new John Deere lawn and garden tractor during our independent special on John Deere Weekend Freedom Machines. Buy our lawn and garden tractor for your big jobs, and we'll give you this big helper for your little jobs. So declare your independence from weekend lawn chores. See your participating John Deere dealer.
The Senate voted about a month ago to repeal the Tonkin Gulf resolution. That was what gave Lyndon Johnson power to carry on a war in Southeast Asia, and he used it to send more than 500,000 men to Vietnam. Today, even though it's already been repealed once, the Senate voted to repeal it again. Senator Fulbright said he didn't like the parliamentary manner in which it was done last time, and he wanted it, for the record, done again and done right. So they did, again. President Nixon, however, keeps saying that he doesn't need the resolution and that he can carry on the war without it. Chet?
Cambodian sources said today that Thai troops, a small force, have moved into their country. They are there, the sources said, to protect an ancient temple, and there's been no fighting as yet. The Nol government has been asking Thailand for such help for weeks. There was little fighting anywhere in Indochina. And one ethnic group the Americans have employed profitably in the war are the Montagnards, who have fought under the guidance of the Green Berets. But the South Vietnamese don't like them.
They came to the mountains of Vietnam centuries ago. They brought with them their own laws, languages, and identity. They roamed the hills to hunt and farm. When the French came, they called them Montagnards, or mountain people, and they let them go their own way. But when the Vietnamese came, they gave the Montagnards a new name, Moi, which means savage, and the Vietnamese didn't leave them alone. This is Chia Rhea, capital of Phubon province. Once it was a large Montagnard village, but all that changed when the Vietnamese moved in 20 years ago. The Montagnards lost most of their businesses and shops. They were either tricked, cheated, or scared off by the Vietnamese. Now the only job Montagnards can get here is as laborers digging ditches in front of the stores they used to own. The highest ranking Montagnard in the Vietnamese government is Paul Nguyen. He heads the Ministry of Montagnard Affairs in Saigon. He admitted there had been injustices before, but all that's being corrected now. One way, he said, was by a new law which will give Montagnards title to the land they live on. The law says the Montagnards will first have their land surveyed, and then they'll be given a certificate making it legally theirs. The rest of the land is turned over to the Vietnamese government. But in Phubon province, as elsewhere, it hasn't worked out that way. The Vietnamese control every aspect of the law, from surveying the land to deciding who gets what. This has resulted in the Montagnards getting less land and the government more. But not all the land grabbing is being done by local speculators. In another province, Montagnards are fighting to save thousands of acres of prime forest land the government says will be given to another Vietnamese developer. The Vietnamese in this case is Dang Thi Thuet Mai, who it turns out is Mrs. Nguyen Cao Ky, wife of the vice president of the country. But the Vietnamese have not only taken the Montagnards' land, they've also deprived them of a voice in government. This is the village of Bon Cre. 98% of the people here are Montagnards. When elections were held last year, they elected a Montagnard as village chief. He was well-educated, articulate, and one of the leading businessmen in the community. Shortly after the election, however, he was removed by the government. It said he wasn't qualified. He was replaced by a Vietnamese. The people of Bon Cre also have a well. They didn't want it, but they got it anyway. It was built by a Vietnamese contractor. The only water in it comes from the rain. Otherwise, it's dry. Advisors say projects like this in Montagnard villages are common, They estimated that 60 to 80% of the money allocated for the improvement of Mountain Yards is pocketed by the Vietnamese. There are 750,000 Mountain Yards in Vietnam. They're gentle people, an advisor said. A Mountain Yard can't tell a lie because he doesn't know how. But in Vietnam, as perhaps elsewhere, people like this may no longer have a place to live or a chance to survive. Phil Brady, NBC News, Hubon Province.
Yesterday, the South Vietnamese said that the International Red Cross had inspected Con Son Island, where it keeps political prisoners, and found it generally all right. But the United States has been putting pressure on the government to do something about Con Son ever since it was revealed that many of the prisoners were being kept in windowless concrete pits. And today, South Vietnam agreed to send an inspection team there. David?
86 senators signed a letter protesting the treatment of American prisoners in North Vietnam and sent it off to Hanoi. James Edward Walsh, a Catholic bishop, has been in jail in China for almost 12 years, charged with spying. He is now 79 years old. Today, suddenly, they let him out, and he arrived in Hong Kong in good health.
p.m. Can't sleep. 11:30. Wide awake. 11:45. Still awake. When you take more than 15 minutes to fall asleep and feel you need help, take Somonex as directed for 100% safe sleep. Somonex is the only leading sleep aid with three medical ingredients to quickly relax you and help you get to sleep. When you take more than 15 minutes to fall asleep, take Somonex and sleep, sleep, sleep.
What's that buzzing, an electric razor?
In a barber shop?
Sure, I get a barber close shave with my electric razor
when I use Williams Electric Shave.
Electric Shave evaporates perspiration,
makes whiskers stand up, gives a non-irritating shave.
Caught ya! Feels barber close with an electric razor.
When you use Williams Electric Shave.
For a shave that feels barber close, use
Electric Shave!
Regular or cooling frost lime.
Israeli planes raided Egyptian positions on the Suez Canal today for the 50th straight day, and this time, they said, they shot down three Russian-built Egyptian planes that rose to challenge them. Elsewhere, Israeli planes strafed Jordanian positions in the Jordan and Baisan valleys. Jordan said three soldiers were killed. UN Secretary General Thant, who likes the Russian peace plan for the Middle East, met today with President Nixon, and the Middle East was what they talked about. The Israelis don't like the Russian plan, and the Arabs don't like the American plan. The Russians and the Americans are obviously fencing with each other, and not just in the Middle East or Southeast Asia. Regularly, the Soviets test American air defenses.
Lieutenant Colonel Charles Lloyd's last tour of duty was in Iceland as commander of the 57th Fighter Interceptor Squadron. Colonel Lloyd and his squadron patrolled the Arctic waters of the North Atlantic on the outskirts of North America.
The mission of our squadron was to identify any unknown aircraft that came into the Icelandic identification zone. There's been a significant increase in the Soviet activity in that area, and we've photographed some of their missions. This is a Russian Bear, NATO designation.
What kind of an aircraft is that, Colonel?
This happens to be a reconnaissance aircraft. They fly extremely long missions. The airplane is capable of flying 6,000 to 8,000 miles, unrefueled. You notice in this particular picture, the 20 millimeter guns are in the stowed position. The 102s scramble. They're, as we call it, hot. They do have weapons. They carry missiles and they carry rockets. You can see the 102 pulling up beside, primarily to identify and secondarily to take photographs.
What's the mood between the two? Are you mad at each other?
Generally quite friendly. Often the crewman will motion to come on in, and then the first thing you know, he's got a camera up there taking your picture just the same as you may be taking his. And they may hold up a sign or so, but generally speaking, it is quite friendly. Now this Bear Delta is approaching one of our ships. and they used the equipment on board for reconnaissance, of course.
If the enemy aircraft were to take some hostile action, what would you do?
Well, we have defined ground rules, and should certain actions occur, then we would react depending on the circumstances. The Aerospace Defense Command has been on alert for some 20 years, and so far there have been no serious incidents.
In 1909, millions of people knew nothing more about disease than how to die from it. So Metropolitan Life started a visiting nurse service for policyholders and their families to fight the spread of disease with the spread of medical knowledge. By 1952, we'd made over 100 million visits. Then visiting nurse associations took over. Today, we're working on health problems which weren't obvious at the turn of the century, like poison control, drug abuse, and rubella inoculation. As a life insurance company, we want people to live. And as human beings, we want even more for them to live in health. We sell life insurance, but our business is life.
The Hotley Brinkley Report continues, brought to you by Denture Cream. In seconds, Denture Cream scrubs, polishes, freshens dentures as no soaking cleaner possibly can. Denture Cream.
So you soak your dentures, and you sit and wait. You can't go anywhere. You're trapped. 5, 10, 15 minutes. But you could have brushed those dentures so much cleaner with Denture Cream during the few seconds of this message. Cleaner than if you'd soaked them all night. And you could have tasted that Denture Cream freshness. Or you could soak and wait and wait.
Federal officials say that potentially dangerous levels of mercury have been found in the waters of 14 states. And Alabama considers the level so alarming there that Governor Brewer has requested government disaster aid. Taken in sufficiently large amounts, mercury kills, and there is no known cure for mercury poisoning. More and more scientists are discovering that many of the pesticides that have been used so freely in recent years also may be dangerous, but that these dangers have to be balanced against the damage done by pests that destroy crops.
It is not very pleasant to look at. It has a large appetite for grass, and the ranchers of northeastern New Mexico despise it. It is the range caterpillar, and it threatens to eat more than 1 million acres of grass rangeland this summer, unless it is stopped. This is what the range caterpillars did in this area last year. Ranchers are afraid that if the caterpillars aren't stopped, there won't be any grass left for their cattle, and they'll have to go out of business.
Well, we've been fighting these worms for 10 years down home. I guess really they originated right there on our ranch. And it's been a real hard thing to cope with. We've had to buy a lot of feed that we ordinarily wouldn't have. We've had to cut down on our cow herd. And it's just hard to live with these worms.
What if they multiply and nothing is done about them? What will you do?
Well, you just can't go on forever. You'll just have to go out of business, I guess.
The cattlemen say they can continue to raise beef here if they are allowed to kill the caterpillars by spraying the land with a chemical pesticide called toxaphene. But in courtrooms and public hearings in New Mexico, conservationists have fought it. They have the support of the U.S. Interior Department in claiming that toxaphene is a dangerous pesticide which can kill fish and wildlife and should be banned.
We feel basically that toxaphene is an environmentally damaging pesticide. We feel that the evidence is rather straightforward. There is a good body of scientific evidence which indicates that toxaphene is persistent, that it accumulates in food chains, and that it has a tendency to perhaps result in resistance in a pest like the caterpillar, so that we're going to have a problem which is going to magnify, not decrease, with the use of the pesticide in time.
I've been associated with toxaphene since it started being made in 1947. I've been in it, around it, used it in cotton, used it in all of the different places that it would be used at as high as 8 and 10 times greater than we're wanting to use it here to control the caterpillar. And nowhere do I know of anybody being hurt by it.
This week, a U.S. court ruled that because toxaphene can't be shown to be dangerous to humans, it can be used against the caterpillars. The conservationists say they will appeal, but the ranchers say they're going to start spraying toxaphene anyway, or they say there will be no grass left for their cows to eat. And there is a related development, which could have a great effect on the whole problem of pesticides. Two chemists for the Aerojet General Company say they've developed a chemical additive to make the pesticide DDT safe for usage. They say it causes DDT to decompose, so it won't remain in the bodies of humans or animals to do damage.
What we are endeavoring to produce is a new form of DDT that will provide the wonderful properties of DDT, which has had some tremendous effects on control of malaria and many other diseases around the world, and yet would rid it of the bad properties that it apparently has of producing effects on fish, scavenger birds, fish-eating birds, and wildlife of that type.
Dr. Sweeney, at what stage is your research in right now?
We believe that we have shown that the process of destructing DDT to a safe product in a short period of time is feasible. And we are now in the process of trying to find the best conditions for a practical process that can be used in the field. We are now engaged in this research.
You're looking at one of the world's great cover-ups. It's a brilliant white house coat from Sherwin-Williams, called Chem One Coat, because one coat is all you ever need to cover. And we don't just promise one coat coverage, we put it in writing. Chem One Coat, premium house paint from Sherwin-Williams, the paints people trust. For the thousands of guys who aren't very handy around the house, Sherwin-Williams developed an easy-to-use latex house paint. You don't need primer because it's built right in, and you don't need special paints for masonry. Painting's easy. And so's the cleanup. Brushes rinse out in soap and water. Easy-to-use Sherwin-Williams latex house paint from the people who cover the earth.
Dr. Martin Swag, the suspended aide to House Speaker McCormick, was found guilty last night of perjury. He will appeal. He was acquitted on 6 other charges of using the Speaker's office to peddle influence. Romanian President Ceausescu said today that all communist nations must have the right to determine their own futures without foreign domination. He called for a debate on the world communist movement. Governor Cahill of New Jersey has asked President Nixon to declare Asbury Park a major disaster area and give it federal assistance. The request was made after 3 days of racial disorders there. In New Bedford, Massachusetts, there was a second night of rock throwing and looting in the black area, and today the mayor said he might call in the National Guard. The British Army has mobilized 20,000 troops and police in North Ireland to prevent religious fighting there this weekend. Protestants plan Orange Day parades, and Roman Catholics say they will hold protest marches. The Federal Trade Commission today accused the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company of deceiving the public on prices, safety, and the durability of their tires. Firestone denied the charges. David?
In Tarrytown, New York, the police arrested Joseph Carozzi because, they said, in his backyard garden, he was raising tomatoes, beans, corn, lettuce, and marijuana. He said his wife used it for flavoring soup. In Chicago, one of the women's stores has stocked up heavily on midi-length dresses and is now trying to teach its salespeople how to sell them.
Don't like the midi skirt at all, and I will never buy one in this fall or next fall or any other fall.
First of all, I think it's a hideous length, and I think it's very unbecoming to woman's look and appearance, and I do not intend to wear it this fall at all.
Many women don't like the idea of a new look in fashion for fall, but some of the more expensive shops see it as a way to improve business during a recession.
We who have seen a lot of the midi in the market are very enthusiastic about it. We think it's a matter of becoming accustomed to seeing it. We think it's a matter of training the eye. And we think that the customers will very rapidly want the midi. We're enthusiastic at the prospect of selling it. I see that Nancy...
Although many women's stores are hedging and offering customers a choice of lengths, one of the fashion leaders, Bonwit Teller, has committed itself to the midi. 90% of their fall stock is long. The store is now engaged in an intense campaign to launch the new style. As of August 3rd, all female executives must wear hemlines that cover the knee. Sales girls have been offered midi skirts at bargain prices. The drastic change is more than a frivolous fashion whim. It's an economic device that retailers are counting on to boost sagging sales. We're currently in an economic recession, and the retail business has been pretty bad for the last 6 months. What did this have to do with the new length? Was this a reason for the new length or a reason not to have a new length?
I think a reason to have a new length. I think that in a recession, women don't buy unless it's something new. Here is something new. They will buy. It will pick business up. And the new length is going to be the fashion for fall. And when you get hooked on your first long skirt or your first longer coat, you go on from there.
A lot of women say they're very upset about the longer lengths, and they've even organized groups to fight them. Does it ever worry you that perhaps this will be a total flop?
No. I don't think it will at all. I think that we are ready for it. I think that short skirts have gone as short as they can go. And I don't think, contrary to a lot of opinion, that this whole length controversy in the next couple of months is going to become as important as it has been in the past few months.
So within the industry, the issue has been resolved. Buyers overwhelmingly favor the longer hemlines. It remains to be seen whether the public will go along. While some women will protect their present wardrobe investment and refuse to buy, those who shop at the more exclusive stores will find they have very little choice. The theory is the trendsetters will make the midi look fashionable by the fall of 1971, resulting in better business and covered knees. Joy Luloff, NBC News, Chicago.
Good night, Chet.
Good night, David, and good night for NBC News.